Hello, my name is Norman Jackson. I'm the Director of Surrey Centre for Excellence in Professional Training and Education at the University of Surrey. I'm talking to Professor John Cowan about some of his experiences in engaging students in learning, something that John has been passionate about for over 40 years. John is well known in UK higher education as an expert teacher who has thought deeply about his practice. He is, if he doesn't mind me saying, a wise old owl. He's also an expert storyteller, and he's kindly agreed to let us record some of his stories so that other higher education teachers might benefit from his experiences and insights.
I never taught science in the Open University, and I was never a student of science in the Open University, but every year when I went to summer school, and I was there for 2 or 3 weeks each summer, the foundation level science course was at Stirling. And one of the events on the foundation level science course was a field trip which happened on the Sunday when they went to a quarry, and they all got helmets on, safety helmets. I don't know why they had safety helmets on, because it was a sand quarry and I don't think anything could have fallen on their heads except sand. But anyway, they all got kitted up on the Sunday morning and they got their helmets on and the buses came and off they went. And they came back so enthusiastic Sunday after Sunday that I invited myself on one of those trips. And I went with on a bus which was being led by a tutor called Stuart Munro, who's actually the director of the Dynamic Earth Project in Edinburgh, a very enthusiastic earth scientist or geologist, call him what you like. And we got in the bus and it was a wet, grey, misty morning, and quite a lot of the people studying foundation level science at that time were sort of middle-aged ladies and gentlemen. And we stopped the bus 2 or 3 times, and Stuart showed us how the ice had come down over Scotland and shaped the geology of Stirling. It had ridden up over the volcanic plugs which had been left, and it had deposited moraines on the other side. It had shaped the whole geography that we were looking at. And he explained it very well and very convincingly, but it was wet and misty, and I think we were all quite glad sometimes to get back in the bus. And then we came to the quarry and we tramped about the quarry. Some people had Wellington boots on, and again it was wet and misty, and we looked at the various things he showed us with great enthusiasm, I must say. Stuart's a great enthusiast. If you ever phone him and he answers the phone, he says, "Stuart Munro speaking." And even in the days when phones didn't tell you who was phoning you, you thought to yourself, "I'm the one person that Stuart Munro wanted to speak to." That was his style. And so he managed to carry this group along with him until we came to this enormous great boulder in the middle of the quarry in Stirling. And he pointed out that this boulder had been carried along by the ice age with all the sand that got ground underneath the ice sheet. And it had been, the sand had been ground down into finer particles, and it had rubbed against the stone and polished it. And he said, look at the surface of it. Look at the polish. On you go, stroke it. And one or two people came out and touched it tentatively. And Stuart said in a kind of genial, chiding way, "No, don't touch it, stroke it, on you go, stroke it." And one or two people stroked it and their faces lit up and they said, "Yes, it is wonderfully smooth, isn't it?" And Stuart said, "Yes, it is. That's what all the grinding underneath the sheet of ice has done to this great boulder." And then he said, "And look at the fine sand underneath it, which has been ground to something so fine." And he licked his finger and he put his finger into the fine sand. He said, "It's so fine," he said, "it tastes like milk chocolate." And he put it in his mouth. And you could sense the revulsion on the faces of most of the people in the group. He put it in his mouth and said, "It's like milk." And you go, "Taste it, taste it." And he would get one hardy character determined to find out that it was all a con trick, who would come out and lick their finger and touch the sand and put it in their mouth, and you could see the expression on their face and say, "Yes, it is like milk chocolate." And so there were these blue-rinsed ladies and all the students in his group licking their fingers and taking Stirling sand into their mouth and discovering that it was like milk chocolate. And because of the enthusiasm of this particular tutor, who's so enthusiastic about his subject. Now, in the bus on the way home, I listened to the students talking, and you could hear a pair behind me and a pair in front of me. And what they were saying was, you know, that was absolutely wonderful. I was going to study chemistry next year out of the four science subjects, but I think I'll change to earth sciences. And another lot would be saying, yes, I'm going to change to earth sciences too. And when you looked at the preferences that had been declared before summer school and the preferences which were actually followed after summer school, then an awful lot of Stuart Munro's students, for one, had changed to earth sciences because of the enthusiasm of the tutor for his subject. Now, all the surveys which have been done of what makes for good quality teaching, one of the qualities which comes out again and again in the surveys is that a tutor is enthusiastic about their subject. I've got some audio tapes at home somewhere in which I pursued this line of inquiry with civil engineering subjects. And I've got recordings of students saying things like, he's not really a very good lecturer, but he's so enthusiastic about his subject, you can't help working for him. Remarks like that. Now, or it's a boring subject, but he's so enthusiastic about it, then I put a fair bit of effort into it. I would say that one of the things, well, qualities for the lecturer, which is enormously important, is if you are enthusiastic about your subject, show that enthusiasm because it's infectious.
John entered academia after a successful career as a structural engineering designer. He developed pioneering academic programmes at Heriot-Watt University, Edinburgh, where he was the first professor of engineering education in the UK. His research focused on student learning and the student's learning experience. His passion and interest in student-centred learning now spans over 40 years. During that time, he's placed an ever-increasing emphasis on preparing students to exercise stewardship over their life-wide development while at university and in lifelong learning thereafter. In retirement, he remains an active teacher at Edinburgh Napier University in undergraduate and postgraduate studies. In reviewing John's book on becoming an innovative teacher, Professor John Biggs wrote, "A delightful and unusual reflective journey. The whole book is driven by a cycle of questions, examples, strategies, and generalisations from the examples. In all, it's the clearest example of practice what you preach that I have seen." Sceptre is fortunate indeed that John has offered to share his experience and wisdom with us through this series of podcasts, which reveal why he believes and does the things he does.